This is Stuart Moxham of The Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Oh dear, I really want to go upstate.
Well, I gotta put some gas in the car, you know they're still rationing down here.
Oh honey, I want to go up and see the 20-somethings upstate. They can't get jobs and they're not washed. I'm going to bring a washcloth and a bit of my favorite lavender soap.
Oh, I love that lavender soap, honey. It really smells delicious on you.
Oh, think of how it will smell on the 20-somethings. They are so cute when they're sleeping in their cars.
Battlefield Earth. Every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now?
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Richard Moody is reporting for the Columbia Green Media. Columbia County may assign full-time school resource officers to the New Lebanon, Chatham, and Germantown school districts for the current school year. A request from Sheriff David Bartlett to place deputies in each of the districts full-time was approved on June the 20th by the County Board of Supervisors Public Safety Committee. Each of the districts will pay $40,000 a year to transition the part-time resource officers to full-time. Each full-time officer would cost the county up to $48,000 per year. Bartlett said, and I quote, "When I became sheriff 4 years ago, none of the districts had school resource officers. The governor had pulled state troopers from schools earlier, so I offered all the districts a chance to have resource officers," end quote. Bartlett said the deputies, and I quote, "are more than officers at the school," end quote. Once they are assigned, they become familiar with the staff and the students alike.
and I quote, they become part of the district, end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Times Union is reporting the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles and the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee will host free child car seat inspections during the month of July in Albany and Rensselaer counties. The checks are part of a statewide initiative. The campaign is intended to ensure parents and caregivers are properly trained to secure their children in a car safety restraint appropriate for the child's age and size, and to ensure the safety restraints are properly installed. Technicians will use the model of learn, practice, and explain to educate each caregiver on how to select a child restraint that will fit their child, fit their vehicle, and be used correctly every time. Safety seat checks will be held July 14th at the Center Brunswick Fire Department in Troy and on July 25th at the State Police Barracks in Latham. Read the full story in the Times Union. There are a variety of 4th of July celebrations planned in the region for Wednesday, including Albany 3 p.m. Empire State Plaza, New York State's 4th of July celebration presented by Price Chopper and Market 32, live music from Smash Mouth and Mariah Formica, food and craft vendors, fireworks after dark, www.albany.org. In Cairo at 5 p.m. townwide, celebration kicks off at Angelo Canna Town Park with live music, fireworks, and more. In Claremont, 2 p.m., Claremont State Historic Site, a day of activities taken from daily life of the 18th century, attend polite tea parties, hear a speech by George Washington, learn Palatine cooking, and watch a musket firing demonstration. Performance by Sideshow Willie from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., followed by the Socrates fireworks across the Hudson River after dark. Read more details in the Daily Freeman. In Coxsackie at 4:30 p.m., the Coxsackie Riverfront Park, music by Good Times Band and Lex Gray, starts at 4:30 p.m., fireworks display at 9:15 p.m. In Kinderhook, 11 a.m. townwide, parade begins at Rothamel Lane and ends at the Village Square with guest speakers and the national anthem. Visitors are encouraged to decorate their vehicles and dress in red, white, and blue. Read more at HudsonValley360.com. Kingston, 4 p.m. TR Gallo Park, live music until 9 p.m. by Sass and Brass, the Jesus Brothers, Little Creek, and Hot Rod. Fireworks will be launched from the Wirt Street Bridge at 9:30 p.m. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Socrates, 11 a.m. townwide. The parade steps off at 11 a.m. on Washington Avenue Extension. An award ceremony follows the parade at Cantine Field. Fireworks at Cantine Field after dark. In Wyndham, 7 p.m. townwide. Parade begins at 7 p.m., followed by fireworks at Wyndham Mountain at 9 p.m. And Catskill will celebrate Independence Day, 6 p.m. July the 5th at Dutchman's Landing Park. Celebrations in East Durham and Tannersville will take place July the 7th. Read more details at HudsonValley360.com. And the Daily Freeman has a rundown of how various offices and services are affected by the Independence Day holiday. Amtrak will be on Sunday schedule. Banks will be closed. County offices closed. Federal offices closed. Financial markets closed. Greene County Transit, no service, no mail delivery. Metro North, extra outbound trains Tuesday afternoon, Sunday schedule on Wednesday. State offices are closed and Trailways will be on a holiday schedule. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News. For weather reports, public meetings, and more information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Happy 4th of July. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service's heat advisory is still in effect until 10 p.m. tonight. The National Weather Service is predicting a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 91 degrees. The heat index value could be as high as 96 degrees. For tonight, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m. Patchy fog after 3 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 71.
The forecast for the next 2 days: on Thursday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 89 degrees. A chance of more showers and thunderstorms on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 72. And on Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly before 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 81 degrees. And on Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 57. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio weather update. For local news, public meetings, and more information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. Next, we have these reports.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1930. That was the day some 1,300 labor radicals and Communist Party supporters assembled in Chicago to establish the National Unemployed Council. That spring, councils in major cities across the country held massive rallies for jobs and relief. They were responding to near catastrophic conditions created by the stock market crash. Delegates emerged from the founding convention with an organizational structure and demands for action. These included unemployment insurance, cash and work relief, public works at union wages, free food for children of unemployed, and a moratorium on evictions. Delegates acknowledged that African Americans bore the worst of the unfolding depression. They worked to address racial discrimination as part of an integrated push for jobs and relief. Councils were established throughout 46 states. They were best known for massive demonstrations, hunger marches, and rent strikes. Councils mobilized hundreds, sometimes thousands, quickly to march on city halls or relief offices when benefits were threatened. They were also able to mobilize scores of supporters at a moment's notice to stop evictions. Councils often mobilized the unemployed to bolster picket lines during strikes. This undercut the recruitment of scabs. By 1935, the National Unemployed Council merged with other socialist unemployed groups led by the Socialist Party and A.J. Mustey to form the Workers' Alliance. According to sociologist Chad Allen Goldberg, the Workers' Alliance worked to secure, quote, more WPA jobs, higher wages for WPA workers, and application of new federal labor laws to the WPA. Goldberg attributes their demise by 1941 to a combination of factors, including the rise of a powerful anti-labor coalition of Republicans and Southern Democrats, red baiting, and internal political conflicts.
Black history is happening every day. It's time to start thinking of it outside of a day or a week or a month. We hope to inspire you by enlightening you with those people and events that should be learned from and forever remembered.
Today is July 4th. On this day in 1881, educator Booker T. Washington erected the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute, which came to be known as the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Washington recruited the most qualified African-American teachers to provide instruction. Among these selected was George Washington Carver, who first arrived to the school in 1896.
Achievements and events are not confined to the past. Make sure to etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month 365, BAM 365, where you find every day Black history is made.
All Together Now airs Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties and WOOC LP 105.3 FM in Troy. All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia Counties, is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment, or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat, and WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.
we could be so good together. Yeah, so good together. We could be so good together. Yeah, we could. I know we could. Invitation and invention. Yeah, so good together. Ah, so good together.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load. Picked up my bag, I went looking for a place to hide. When I saw Carmen and the devil walking side by side, I said, hey Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can stick around. Take a load off. Moses, there's nothing you can say. It's just old Luke, and Luke's waiting on a judgment day. Well, Luke, my friend, what about young Annalee? He said, do me a favor, son, won't you stay and keep Annalee company? Take a load off.
Wait. And next we'll hear This Wheel's on Fire from the band from WGX.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining?
Something in complete
unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us.
Get it? Take a look into the sky and see it scraping the buildings. Or look into the mirror, see the face of resilience. My heart and frustration is in it. When I spit it, it's vintage. Soul molded into my own image. Yeah.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
It
ain't hard to tell. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
Yeah, it ain't hard to
tell. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
Yeah, it ain't hard to
tell.
Hi there, this is Freddie Johnston, and you're listening to WGXC in Accra.
All right, all together now. Ready?
All Together Now is a new evening news show brought to you by WGXC in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC in Troy. The show is a unique, community-based collaboration between listeners and programmers, both on air and off. If you want to get involved, send us an email at info@wgxc.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. A public hearing on a Cairo zoning law amendment turned heated on July 2nd. The discussion, involving residents and town board members, focused on the Main Street Commercial District Amendment intended to fill storefronts in the business district. The amendment would require owners of buildings that formerly housed a business on the ground floor to maintain the first floor for commercial use. Cairo Town Supervisor Daniel Benoit said the amendment would require owners of buildings that formerly housed a business on the ground floor to maintain the first floor for commercial use. He said, and I quote, "If you believe Main Street can be brought back again, then this is a mechanism to foster that type of development," end quote. First-term Councilman Jason Watts opposed the amendment as written, arguing that it restricts what owners can do with their property. And Watts said, "It has taken far too long for development to occur." Watts said, and I quote, "What about the people who own the land? Why are we restricting people?" End quote. Foundation co-president Sherry True said, "The Cairo Development Foundation's mission is to restore Main Street to attract offbeat eclectic shops that would give Cairo an identity." She said, "We have no identity here in Cairo, and nobody seems to want to identify who we are. This has been going on for years and years," end quote. Benoit said the town's 2017 zoning law was simplified to be more business-friendly and commercial and industrial areas were expanded, but large-scale industries have not taken the bait. "The town is at a disadvantage. It cannot attract large-scale industrial development without the water or sewer infrastructure those enterprises need." Benoit said the board tabled the resolution to adopt the law until August. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Peter Plyrell is reporting in the Columbia paper that the steeple of the Austerlitz Town Hall is rotting. It may cost $15,000 to $18,000 to reconstruct and repair the town steeple, the story says. Fortunately, the town has extra money on hand, and the steeple will stand. Austerlitz is also spending $95,317 on curbing and paving at the town hall. The Austerlitz Pound Board meets next at 7 p.m. July 19th. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. On July 2nd, local Congressperson John Faso's campaign manager, Tom Szymanski, demanded Faso's opponent state his position on whether the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency should be closed. And I quote, "Antonio Delgado's silence on this issue is disturbing. Mr. Delgado must immediately inform the voters of the 19th Congressional District if he stands with Mayor de Blasio, Kirsten Gillibrand, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cynthia Nixon, or other fellow progressives on the loony left by wishing to abolish ICE.
Voters deserve to know whether Mr. Delgado will work to abolish the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, end quote. But WGXC could not find any statements about not abolishing ICE on Faso's campaign website or on his congressional website, so voters may be unsure about Faso's position on the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Delgado, a Democrat, is now on record as he replied on Twitter July 3rd, saying he does not support abolishing ICE. Delgado's Twitter account said, and I quote, "Congressman Faso should feel free to contact me directly with his inquiries about my positions. I would be happy to exchange cell phone numbers so that he does not need his staffer to send out statements written by Paul Ryan," end quote. New York Senator Gillibrand has said she would like to, and I quote, "reimagine," end quote, the agency with a, and I quote, "very different mission. I don't think ICE is working as intended. I believe it has become a deportation force, and I think it should separate the criminal justice from the immigration issues," end quote. New York's other senator, Chuck Schumer, has a significantly different opinion. He said, and I quote, "ICE does some functions that are very much needed. Reform ICE? Yes. That's what I think we should do," end quote. A Harvard-Harris poll from June 24th, 25th found that about half of the self-identified liberals said ICE should be disbanded. 41% of Democrats agreed, and 22% of Republicans agreed with ending the agency. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Albany Times-Union that Albany County Executive Daniel McCoy visited the jail July 2nd, where more than 230 migrants are being held, and he said he was, and I quote, "committing resources to ensuring immigrant refugees being housed in Albany County Jail get fair legal representation." And he called for qualified attorneys and interpreters to aid in the effort, end quote. Few days before Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration issued a statement saying New York will coordinate efforts to provide legal aid for the immigrants. Reportedly, New York State is providing on-site interpreters, 13 extra correction officers, free telephone calls, and more nurses and doctors. But Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple said that Albany Law School Professor Sarah Rodginson, director of the school's Immigration Law Clinic, has done most of the work on legal needs, not the state. Apple said, and I quote, "this is really her thing. She's made this successful," end quote. In related news, the group ICE Free Capital District will protest at the local Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, 1086 Troy Schenectady Boulevard in Latham, at 7:30 a.m. on July the 6th. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For weather reports, public meetings, and more information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org.
Here's Columbia County composer and drummer Bobby Previtt, his Terminal E from the Quartet's record with the NYU Percussion Ensemble and So Percussion. Thank you.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, July the 4th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The Trump administration slams the brakes on affirmative action, also on our Independence Day rundown, mental health issues, an increasing challenge for jails, AARP investing $60 million in dementia research, and a Greenpeace report on the Dakota Access Pipeline. Topping our news, the Trump administration on Tuesday scrapped Obama-era guidance on race-based admissions policies just as conservatives see a fresh opening to end affirmative action through a changing Supreme Court. Politico reports the move comes as a closely watched court battle over Harvard's, which has emerged as the next front in the fight over race-based admissions. Researchers say access to health and social services are vital to help prevent people struggling with mental health challenges or addiction from ending up behind bars. But Mary Sherman's been checking out, are those who are incarcerated receiving the services they need to get back on track?
A new report released by the Center for Community Solutions found in 2015, more than 15,000 people with mental illness or substance use disorders were in Ohio's county jails. However, researcher Tara Britton with the center says jails are not treatment centers.
Not what you would think a jail would be providing in terms of people needing to detox from an addiction or people needing expensive, hard-to-manage psychotropic medications while they're in a jail setting.
The cost for caring for these individuals came to about $29,000 per jail, not including the $75,000 in average spending for psychotropic medications. The findings are the third part of a five-part report series released in collaboration with the Mental Health and Addiction Advocacy Coalition, analyzing the intersection between the behavioral health and criminal justice systems.
The group AARP is making a $60 million investment in dementia and Alzheimer's research, Catherine Davis Young explains.
The investment is being made to honor AARP's 60th anniversary, and Dana Kennedy with AARP Arizona says the new Disrupt Dementia campaign comes at a critical time for this type of research.
The last dementia drug to come to market brings only temporary relief of disease symptoms, and it was approved more than a decade ago.
Kennedy says more than 400 clinical trials have failed since the last drug was approved. AARP's investment will go toward the Dementia Discovery Fund, which supports new drug projects. The fund encourages new types of techniques and applies insights from other areas of medicine, such as oncology and immunology. AARP says it hopes research will lead to better treatments and eventually a cure for dementia.
AARP says more than 60 million Americans are now caring for a family member or loved one with dementia. And with Independence Day celebrations also comes a heightened risk of fires. Officials are cautioning folks setting off fireworks to stay safe and also be careful not to start wildfires. Here's Eric Tegadoff.
Officials are cautioning folks setting off fireworks to stay safe and also be careful not to start wildfires. Robert Knuth with the North Dakota Firefighters Association says everyone should check the fire danger index for their area. While the risk is low across most of the state, Knuth says fire conditions could change by the 4th of July.
Do remember that the wind and the heat will dry out the fuel, the grass, pretty rapidly. So even if it were to rain today, we could be in moderate or even high come Wednesday.
Despite more favorable conditions this year, a devastating drought from last year still is affecting the state. The United States Drought Monitor says more than half the state is abnormally dry. Some cities, including Fargo, prohibit fireworks within city limits. A fire danger rating map is available on the North Dakota Department of Emergency Resources website.
And finally, Eric Galatis reports a new Greenpeace USA report documents how the corporate sponsor behind the Dakota Access Pipeline continues to use a variety of surveillance, lobbying, and legal tactics to silence protesters.
Molly Dorozinski with Greenpeace says in the wake of events at Standing Rock, Energy Transfer Partners worked with the pro-corporate American Legislative Exchange Council to introduce 60 new bills across the U.S., many of which classify pipelines as critical infrastructure.
So critical infrastructure was previously things that were necessary for everyone in the state. They're not really critical for anyone except for the companies that are trying to move the oil. So what they've done is they've tried to really increase penalties specifically for people who are protesting this pipeline.
Dorozinski says after hiring private firms that deployed military-style tactics against demonstrators at Standing Rock, Energy Transfer Partners has continued to contract firms to infiltrate and surveil activist groups. Energy Transfer Partners has not yet responded to a request for comment on the report, but the company has argued that legislation restricting demonstrations near pipelines is necessary to complete its projects and prevent property damage.
So critical infrastructure was previously things that were necessary for everyone in the state. They're not really critical for anyone except for the companies that are trying to move the oil. So what they've done is they've tried to really increase penalties specifically for people who are protesting this pipeline.
Dorozinski says after hiring private firms that deployed military-style tactics against demonstrators at Standing Rock, Energy Transfer Partners has continued to contract firms to infiltrate and surveil activist groups. Energy Transfer Partners has not yet responded to a request for comment on the report, but the company has argued that legislation restricting demonstrations near pipelines is necessary to complete its projects and prevent property damage.
The report recommendations include asking banks to cut financial ties with the company behind the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline. Have a great Independence Day. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio weather update. The National Weather Service's heat advisory is still in effect until 10 p.m. tonight. The National Weather Service is predicting a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 91 degrees. The heat index value could be as high as 96 degrees. For tonight, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m. Patchy fog after 3 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 71. The forecast for the next 2 days: on Thursday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 89 degrees. A chance of more showers and thunderstorms on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 72. And on Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly before 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 81 degrees. And on Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 57. So there you have your WGXC hands-on radio weather update. For local news, public meetings, and more information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Thursday, July 5th, Pete Kirchhoff starts the day in Hudson with an extended Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive edition of the WGXC Morning Show from 9 to 11 a.m. Alan Skerritt will be back from noon until 2 with Crossroads and Rhythm, followed by The Art of the Hudson Valley with Chad Weckler from 2 until 3. In the evening after the news hour, The Jazz Disturbance, hosted by Cheryl Kay, followed by The Magic Stranger Show from 9:30 to midnight.
Tune in overnight Thursday, July 5th for Creative Composition on the radio with radio news at 5 a.m. on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Wednesday, July 4th is a holiday, so there's not much officially going on, but there are some events. Like at the Claremont State Historic Site, they're having an old-fashioned Independence Day there, with reenactors, 18th century crafts, music, food, entertainment of the unnamed variety, and a view of the Saugerties fireworks over the Hudson River at dusk. Go to friendsofclermont.org for more information about that. Thursday, July 5th, Cairo has a planning board meeting at 7 p.m. Take out your phone if you go to that meeting or any other local town meeting. Make a recording or make a live web stream through the WGXC app. 7 p.m. is the Cairo Planning Board meeting, Thursday, July 5th. Also Thursday, July 5th, the Sweet 16 Cinema Club is at Hilo in Catskill. It's a new series dedicated to watching films on film. The first one, this is the first in the series, because they're showing From the First People, directed by Sarah Elder and Leonard Kamerling from 1977. Also, Plant Life at Work, produced by the Moody Institute of Science. 6 short films by James Gore from 1973. And Rip Van Winkle, produced by Terry Toons in 1934. It's an hour and 30 minutes long, all those films, and there's a link on the WGXC community calendar for more information about the Sweet 16 Cinema Club that begins Thursday, July 5th, 8 p.m. at Hilo in Catskill, 365 Main Street. Friday, July 6th, Twisted Pine String Band performs at PS21 in Chatham, 8 p.m. Also Friday, July 6th, The Spliffs, a Woodstock-based band, perform 8 p.m. at Hilo in Catskill with a live web stream at WGXC.org. Friday, July 6th is also when Royal Jelly Jive performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Soul Jive and Gypsy Blues is the description of that band. 9 p.m. Friday, July 6th at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Saturday, July 7th, there's an Art Scouts program for students grades kindergarten through 6th at the Wasaic Project in Wasaic, New York at 10:30 a.m. Elliot Fisk and Yehuda Hanani perform at 8 p.m. at PS21 Saturday, July 7th. It's the annual Paul Grunberg Memorial Bach Concert, classical with classical guitarist Elliot Fisk and cellist Yehuda Yahanani performing Bach cello suites at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 7th at PS21 in Chatham. Functions perform at High Low in Catskill Saturday, July 7th. That band includes Otto Hauser, Rachel Z, Jay Collins, Scott Petito, and David Gilmore. Saturday, July 7th, Red, White, and Indigo is at the Ankrum Opera House. It's a cabaret musical performance by Lady Rizzo, 8:30 p.m. Saturday, July 7th. The Nels Klein Four performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. The incredible experimental guitarist Nels Klein, who also plays in Wilco, is at Club Helsinki in Hudson Saturday, July 7th. Sunday, July 8th, Crazy Doberman, which includes members of Wolf Eyes and Doberman, perform at the Low Beat in Albany at 8 p.m. Sunday, July 8th. These events and more are online at WGXC Community Calendar, wgxc.org.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news@WGXC.org. And our crack community reporters will see if we can mention your news on the local airwaves